Oh, we got some people. How's everybody doing?
All right.
So, is this our last week of class? Well, yeah. one week from today would be our final day of class, right? I believe that's correct. So, getting near the end, how y'all feel about that? You can be honest.
Really excited.
It's a normal feeling. So, we have one final task for you in this course, and this is normally called final exam, but it's going to look different this semester. So that's what we're here to talk about today. So I have some slides for you, and then our TAs have some stuff to show you also. So let me get our slides up. Okay, so some notes on your final exam. What have you heard about your other courses? What we would do for final exams there?
Not a lot of them have talked about it.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I'm saying not a lot of mine already talked about it yet.
Okay. Well, we're all figuring it out here. This is not how we planned in the semester. So, course staff spent the weekend working this out, and I think we have a pretty good plan for you here, but do bear with us. It is new. It's our first time doing this. I think it's going to be good in that it's going to give you guys a chance to, certainly earn the rest of the credit that you're looking for, but also hopefully, get some good experience in the process and think about some interesting things and get some good experience. So hopefully this is a good opportunity for y'all. So that's why we've spent time thinking hard about making something worth the trouble. So we're just going to start by a reminder of how we started the semester, which is like how we compute the grades for this course. Hold on a second. I need to get fix a meeting thing real quick. Yes. Okay. So this is our grading scale, and of course, normally the final exam date would be May the 8th. That is a week from this coming Friday. That's of course going to be a little different this semester. But the way the grades are computed using this scale on the left, we have the labs, which of course we are done with now. So 5 labs, each 10%. So each of them are 40 points. So hopefully you have some number of points approaching 200 based on the labs, depending on some of your scores there. And then we have exams. So you've already taken midterm exam a couple of months ago, I guess, right? Was that right before Mardi Gras? I think it was. So 100 points each. So your midterm exam is out of 100 points. And the expectation is for your final exam to contribute the same amount to your score. So another way to look at it is you've completed 75% of the graded part of the course, and we have one chunk left that we plan to do on Friday, May the 8th. So that's the plan. Just a reminder, this is what we started the semester talking about. However, some things have changed. So you know that our fine university campus is not open to the public currently. So we will not be meeting there. So that's change number one that you knew about. So the written paper test that we do on that day is not going to really work the same. So we have a new format. It is mostly of the take-home variety, which maybe you've had exams like this where you go and, you know, complete some task on your own. Well, we have three sections. So one of which is about 20% of it will be normal questions that we ask you on Friday, May the 8th. So we will do this on your computer, of course, and it will just be a small portion. So we'll tell you exactly what subject matter that's dealing with. But that will be May the 8th. We have, you know, over a week and a half before then. So we'll talk about that. So that will be actually pretty short. But we have two more sections that are take-home variety. So we need to talk about those now so that you can get started. That way, hopefully, next week is not too rough for y'all. So we have two take-home sections, and you will have a choice here for each of the two sections. You will choose between either a programming activity or a written activity that will be on similar topics that we'll be telling you about now. And for all of these sections, Autolab will be how you submit your work. So of course, you've been using this all semester, and I think it's working pretty well. So we'll kind of continue to do that, and in the end, your scores will be in the Autolab gradebook. By the way, I've gotten a lot of questions recently about the grades shown in Autolab. So no, they're not. We're not done going through all of your work and finalizing the grades. So we'll let you know when we are, and then you can treat your Autolab gradebook as official, but we're not there yet. And in particular, the average thing at the bottom is definitely not up to date, and that's a thing that Autolab is computing based on old numbers. So don't pay attention to that right now. Do pay attention to it later when all the data is in. So I'm going to tell you about the take-home choices. What questions do you have so far? Well, I'll tell you more then. So on the left is what it's going to look like in Autolab. I hope that's coming through clearly. So there'll be a section in Autolab called Final Exam. And sorry, clear my throat. So you can see a clip of that on the left. So on this Final Exam category, there are four things. Well, there'll eventually be five things when we get the May 8th part up. But right now there'll be four things. These are the take-home parts. The first two are the first category, and you'll choose one of them. And the second two are the second category, and you will choose one of them. So to describe them quickly, so the first thing says programming, solve Attack Lab with Pwn tools. So you just finished Attack Lab, which I think many of you found interesting and challenging. You had these target files that you wrote exploits against, and you know, demonstrated learning a lot about calls and returns and stack memory. So you did this by making exploit text files and then using Hexdraw to make these binary files to send as input. However, we have some tools that have been created to kind of automate this. So now that you have done Attack Lab, you know, manually or the old-fashioned way, we have a newer way involving writing a program in the Python programming language. That is new to most of you. However, it's not all that difficult, and we will give you a starting point and tell you how to do that. And since you've done Attack Lab the normal way, you should appreciate what these tools are able to do. And so you'll make a program that actually goes through all five phases of Attack Lab and solves all of them in order instead of one at a time. And most importantly, you'll have good comments in there showing that you understand how it's all put together. So you will need to refer to your work in Attack Lab, and hopefully your comments on your exploits that you did already will serve you well in putting that back together. Now, if you do not wish to do this, we have another option for you, which is a written response to, we will provide a list of research talks on videos on the internet that you can watch that are that we like, that I think are quite good, that are built on what we have done in class. And then we have, we want you to write a response, and we will provide you with the format that needs to be in, what needs to be in there, what questions to answer, what we're looking for. So you choose one of these two. And that either you will get 40 points on your exam from either the programming part or the writing part. Pick one, and they'll both have a grading scale up to 40 points based on how much you accomplish. Questions? We have another category for the second two. So regardless of whether you choose the programming or the writing response for the first two, you can choose either of the second two. So we're gonna call these caching/systems topics. So things related to things we did in class, not during Attack Lab and chapter three, but the other sections. So we have a programming section that is called Cache Lab, in which you write some C code that we will look at its performance, see how many cache hits and cache misses result from the C code. And it's actually a pretty short amount of C code, but the most naive approach does not work well for caching. So there are some techniques you need to use to change the code. It's actually kind of similar to the array copy thing that we started the semester on, and you've seen many times. Of course, it's actually going to deal with array transposition or matrix transposition. So doing some transpose stuff, but you know, copying some numbers in memory and measuring how many cache hits and cache misses. So we'll talk to you a little bit about what you need to do to accomplish that. So you have that option, or if you choose instead of doing the C programming part, if you do the written option, well, we have again a list of research talks on, again, topics related to this stuff that we've done in class. And once again, you'll have the option of submitting, watching, demonstrating to us that you learned from those videos, and answering some questions, submitting your response. And we'll tell you a little bit more about what the expectations are on that. But that is, that's the basic layout of your choices that you'll be looking at over the next week or so. Some other little details there. You can pick the two, both programming tasks, both writing tasks, or one of each. That's fine. Either way, you get 40 points in one, 40 points in the other. However, you must be picking one from each category, not both from a category. So you can't do the first two and not the second two. You need to do one of the first two and one of the second two if you see how they're laid out here. So you will be hitting both of these topics either way. So on the program assignments, you'll be submitting to Autolab one piece of code, either Python in the first case or C in the second case. Autolab will evaluate its correctness, which is good. However, the more important part is you need to explain it well in your comments. So, of course, you've been doing that all semester. You know that we look at your code closely. So that's really what we're grading here. In both cases, these are actually pretty short programs, but we will expect to see good explanations. We're not really looking at how many lines of code. We're looking at how much you've learned and what your thoughts are on it. Regarding writing assignments, so we are expecting 2 to 3 pages of text of actual writing. You can put in references also, like, for example, the videos we tell you to watch, which, of course, we know where they are. That's not, those URLs are not going to count as your writing. So that's roughly what we're expecting there. And we expect this in PDF format on Autolab. That's the PDF is the format that Autolab recognizes and that we will be able to grade. If you are having difficulty generating a PDF file, let us know. I know that in most modern operating systems, it's not too difficult to generate a PDF file. Often, it's a way of printing your document and saying you want to print it into a PDF file rather than to a sheet of paper. So that is the format info. Surely you have questions now.
Just to be sure, this is still on the 8th, right?
Well, okay. So these will, that's a good question. So these will actually be due, next week. However, the 6th, which is Wednesday of next week, and then section 2 will be due on the 7th. Of course, that doesn't mean do them on Wednesday and do them on Thursday. I mean, do them before then, by all means, get them out the way as soon as you can. I'm sure you have other things to do. And then on Friday the 8th, we will do the last 20 points on Autolab, and that's something that you will, sit down on Friday, get your questions, do the answers right there. That'll be more like a normal exam. So please do plan on being at your exam on Friday, May the 8th. And if you're unavailable for some reason, please contact us and let us know. But we haven't gotten to that part yet. So this again, and we'll, yeah, I guess that is a big thing I left out here, but that'll come up when we actually show you the write-up for the Pwn tools thing and the writing thing. They'll be due May the 6th, which is Wednesday. And then the second category will be due May the 7th, Thursday. And that's just to stagger it a little bit so that we can make it easier for us to deal with all the incoming stuff. So due next week. And then don't, we need you to keep your head clear on Friday so you can answer questions during the last little 20-point section. So another question.
For the code section, are we allowed to get help from the help center or no, not this time?
Well, that's a good question. I think it's going to make the most sense for you to just deal with the core staff on this. For one thing, the help desk doesn't know anything about this.
Right.
Whereas all the help desk folks have, they've gone through the course and they know how to help you with the rest of it. So no, you're not going to be able to get help from the help desk. For one thing, I'm telling you not to, but even then, even if I told you to go to them, they probably wouldn't be in a good position to help you. So, but you have me and David and Caitlin and Saroj, so we'll be available in our help hours. And
got it.
So, yeah, that'll be the way. Good question.
Also, when will these be released?
Mm-hmm. Very soon. at least the first category we should have ready for today. You should start reading and learning about it today and early this week. David's going to tell you a little bit more about it, and I'll be getting an Autolab today. The second category will either be tomorrow or Wednesday at the latest. So you will easily have you know, a week before they are due, hopefully a little more than a week. So working on that, like I said, we've kind of had to put it together on short notice, but I think it'll be good. We have another question on chat. Grading will be 40 points part one, 40 points part two, 20 points for normal questions. That is correct, Patrick. So, you know, and then normal questions, what I mean by normal questions is like things we've used on previous exams that normally, you know, it was worth 20 points on the last exam. It'll be worth 20 points on this exam. So the point value on those questions is not changing. So that'll be, you know, something that you can hopefully do in, I don't know, 15 or 20 minutes.
And I'm sorry, those normal questions, that's going to be in Autolab as well? Right.
Yeah. And I'll, you know, I've got a deadline of May 8th to get that fully working. So Autolab does have the ability to let you basically fill out a form and then click submit and have that get submitted. So I've been testing that out. We haven't actually done that before, but I am confident it will work. So, the goal is by, really Friday of this week, to have that, you know, ready. I can tell you all about that at the end of this week, and then you'll have until Friday, May 8th to like be ready to answer the questions. So that's our general order of things is, you know, we're going to go through each of them this week and then do everything next week. Question.
Will we get a study guide at like the midterm or?
Well, so yeah, I mean, we have slides for like an exam review. I mean, those are, usually oriented towards the written exam, which you're really only getting about 20% of. So yeah, I will provide that. Although since it's kind of different here. So let's put it this way: for the 20% of the like written exam questions that you are getting, you know, yes, I'll tell you what to prepare for. will I give you the answers? No. But the good news is that you've been taking the class and the answers lie in the class. So I will, you know, tell you what fraction of the class you need to pay attention to for those questions. We have another question. GDB works with Python? ? Well, that's an interesting question. Not exactly, but you're not. So GDB doesn't debug Python programs. But there is a way to use GDB to debug the target, you know, C target and R target. And in fact, that's something David and I were working on, how to have the Python program use GDB to debug. So, you know, that's a question. Okay, David's answering this in the chat also. So, yes, I said that without reading David's message, and I think I tried to say the same thing. So, yes, GDB is usable. But not quite in the way I first interpreted that question. We'll get to that. So, excellent questions, y'all. I'm glad you are paying attention and thinking about these. What else?
I have a question.
Yes.
My question is basically, if we have no kind of Python experience, is that going to affect us being able to do that? That final.
So we assume that none of you have Python experience because I think that's generally true. I think for most students in this class have not used Python before. So that is David is going to show you how this works and provide you with a template. And it is I think what you'll find is it's quite easy, and the Python programming part of this is really not the challenge. In that, really the challenge is getting your exploit, you know, to work in this format. So, you know, I mean, we've both kind of gone through and done, you know, done solutions in this. One thing I had to test to make sure Autolab worked right with it, and the, I mean, these solutions have, and David, tell me right about this. There are no loops in this code. There are not even any if statements or conditionals in this code, right?
Yeah, there's no control flow. There's really not even that much to do with data types. It's mostly just scripting, so it should be pretty straightforward. Like
exactly.
The Pwn tools library is what you're going to be more focused on than the actual Python syntax.
Yeah, correct. In fact, I wish you were learning more Python in this, but we don't really have time for that. So things such as, I was looking at, you know, there are interesting things about the Python programming language, such as we're having specific rules about white space and how many, you know, spaces or indents that you use. But that actually won't matter here because there's no, there's no if statements or loops. So the amount of Python in there is pretty minimal. But I'm glad you asked because that is definitely... you know, something that's stressful when you are doing a new language for the first time. I think you'll find this is a very simple amount of Python. It also, you know, David mentioned it's like scripting. So that is actually pretty similar to Bash, you know, and many of you have worked with Bash this semester and making, say, a Bash script, which we did for extra credit earlier. And that really was just a text file with some commands in it, right? Well, Python is pretty similar. It's a text file with some commands. In fact, I think it's actually kind of easier than Bash in some ways. One thing, it's just like a little more readable and doesn't have as many like, you know, semicolons and curly braces and stuff. So I don't think, as far as Python programming goes, it won't be that bad. On the other hand, if this is like stressful and does not appeal to you, you know, the written response is also an option for you. So we're not forcing you to do this. But you know, so check out the demo on this and you'll see, hopefully it's not too scary, but if it is scary, that's fine. You got another option.
Okay. Yeah. Cause that was going to be my second question. If we started working on the Python lab, the attack lab, and we just figured out like it was too tough, we'd be able to switch out and just start doing the paper instead.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not committing to one or the other. We only want you to, hand in one or the other. But yeah, I mean, you can start one and switch. I mean, you know, don't switch right before it's due. That would probably not be a good move. But yeah, you can check it out and then change your mind, especially if you you know, do so now, well before the due date. So yeah, do by all means consider both. I think there's like actually really good reasons to do either one. I'm kind of excited. I'm really hopeful that people that, like, you know, half the class picks one and half the class picks the other, just because I think that they'll both be interesting. I'll be sort of sad if everyone picks one and not the other, because I happen to like all of them. You know, maybe I'm biased, but I think they're going to be good experiences for y'all.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for your questions. Okay. Now, about Pwn tools and Python and about Cache Lab and C, we have, you know, details on those. So you don't, you know, obviously you don't know exactly what those are going to look like yet. And on the two written things, we've got a list of video links and questions for you to answer. So details on all these are forthcoming. Each of these will have a PDF file, you know, write up to go with it, as you've seen for our other assignments. So more details available. Do look for this final exam category on Autolab, but they're not all four going to come out at the exact same time, but they're all coming out soon. David, are you ready to demo?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if there are no more questions, I will hand it off to David to talk to you about Pwn tools and automating Attack Lab. What else? What other questions?
Just so I'm sure I probably need to shorten this to less than 20 minutes, right? So
well, you can still do that. I mean, proceed as normal unless you need to make a change. Don't worry. You know, I'll interrupt you if I need to.
Okay. Cool. All right. Let me share my screen. Can everybody see that? Cool. All right, so as Matt said, this is, you're gonna be an exam component for developing Attack Lab exploits using Python 3 and Pwn tools. So what is Python? Python is a multi-paradigm programming language, which means it supports object-oriented programming as well as functional programming. And it's also often used as a scripting language, which is what we're gonna be doing here. It's dynamically typed. So this is gonna be very different from what you're used to with C and Java, where you have to declare your variables as being of type int, string, etc. It's interpreted, which means that it's not compiled. The instructions are executed by an interpreter at runtime that converts them into one or more different subroutines. And it uses new lines and indentation instead of semicolons and curly braces to delineate statements and blocks of code. There's an emphasis on readability. It resembles plain English in many cases. These are some of the data types, and this isn't all of them, but these are the ones that you'll encounter most frequently. Are numeric. It's integers, floats, complex numbers. You don't have to worry about the size of your integers. There are no like integer overflows in Python. It does like all the memory management for you. There's string and bytes types, which are similar, but not quite. And I'll give you all a demonstration of that in a minute as well. Sequence types, lists, tuples, and ranges. These sequence types can, well, a range is like a range of numbers, like 0 through 100, and you use that for for loops and stuff like that. Lists and tuples are kind of like containers for other data types, and you're not limited to a single data type in a list or a tuple. It can hold a mixed bag of integers, strings, objects, whatever. There are sets, which have, it's a collection of elements and they must all be unique. No duplicates are allowed. And finally, there are dictionaries, which are kind of like a map in that there's keys and values. And then we have PwnTools, which is a library for Python 3. It's a CTF framework and exploit development library written in Python. It is designed for rapid prototyping and development and intended to make exploit writing as simple as possible. You can analyze binary files with it, create tubes to processes running locally, as well as to processes running on a remote server over TCP or SSH. This allows you to send and receive data. You can launch and interact with GDB debugging sessions. It has utilities for packing integers into strings and unpacking them. Kind of like when you did your attack lab, you had to convert your addresses into Little Endian. It can do a lot of that stuff for you automatically. It can generate an assembly code. So instead of having to compile your code and like use OBJ dump to get the actual like opcode bytes, you can do that automatically. And it does a lot more than that. They have a very well-documented website you should visit when you do this part of your exam. So I'm going to go give you all a quick demo of kind of some of the things you can do. But first, I'll start by showing you all what it's going to look like for solving your attack lab. So you're going to develop a script that when you run it as an argument to this Python 3 interpreter will solve all five phases of your attack lab and almost instantaneously. You can see that it started ctarget called touch 1, ctarget called touch 2, ctarget called touch 3, rtarget touch 2, rtarget touch 3. And it was able to deliver all those solutions automatically. So for this demo, I've downloaded a CTF challenge from this website, 247ctf.com. A very common function, a very common format for this is to have the binary file provided to you, but you have to submit your solution over the internet to a remote host, and they'll give you like an IP address or a domain name address and a port. This is a program called hidden flag function. And this is a little bit different from what y'all are used to seeing. This is a 32-bit program instead of a 64-bit, but the principles are pretty much the same. So when we run this, it says what you have to say. And, you know, nothing happens. It's up to us to figure out how to solve this. So we can go to GDB, hidden flag function. And hidden flag function is a pretty big hint that we're looking for a hidden flag function. So we type info functions. We see a flag function right here, as well as this function called, or chow. And I'll go ahead and, I guess, kind of equate that to get buff in Attack Lab. So if we do run, it takes us to this chow function and step through. And y'all are used to seeing getS. This uses something called ISO C99scanf, but it does the same thing pretty much. So it calls that. And it'll read our data onto the stack. So we need to figure out how to do a buffer overflow here. And I'm going to go ahead and start writing this in PwnTools. So we're going to call this hiddenexploit.py. The first step of any PwnTools script is you have to import the PwnTools library. And that has to be installed on your system. Matt is taking care of that on the Systems Lab server. So it's from pwn import star, which imports all of the PwnTools functions and utilities into this global namespace. And the first thing we can do is create what's called an ELF object. This is part of the PwnTools library. And you give it as a parameter the name of this binary target. So hidden flag function. Now, if we run this, you see that PwnTools reads this hidden flag function binary and does some analysis of it for us. Okay. And we can also use PwnTools to attach this to a GDB debugging session. So you can do p equals gdb.debug in flag function. And as the second parameter, you can pass it a GDB in, like, init script. So this will automatically set your breakpoints and do some things for you in GDB. Set on. Don't be scared if this looks like kind of weird and unfamiliar to you. We're going to give you some of this stuff in your template. We're going to set a breakpoint on the challenge or the chow function and continue. And this three quotes is kind of Python's way of doing, like, block quoting. Multi-line strings, I should say. Now, when you do this on your Systems Lab computer, you're not going to need to use this TBox program. I'm just doing that right now to make life easy. But when you do it on Systems Lab, it'll open up a new terminal, and your GDB session will be running in one window, and the PwnTools will be running in another one. So we do Python 3. Play.py. All right, and now it's got GDB open on the other side, and it has, like we wanted it to, we set a breakpoint on chow, and it advanced to that point. So We need to figure out how to, oops. We need to figure out how to overflow this, and Python provides a really awesome tool for conducting buffer overflows. It's called the cyclic function. So we can do, well, first thing we can do is, put something in the chat here. Okay. We can send, well, we can receive input from this process. So p.receive with parentheses. We're going to want to print this. And because this receive function returns a bytes object and we need to convert it to a string, we need to decode it into UTF-8. Again, don't worry too much about that because we're going to be providing that as part of your template. And we can also, as well as receiving data, we can send it data. And in this case, I'm going to send an entire line. We're going to use this cyclic function to generate an 80-byte sequence of characters. And we'll receive some more info after that to kind of see what happened. Now we do Python 3, get in .py. All right, now, once again, you can see it's opened up a GDB window, but this time on the right-hand side, I don't know why I printed that stuff twice over there. That's weird. But if we step through with next instruction, we go to this ISO C99 scanf and we press enter or for next instruction. You can see that it has generated a cyclic sequence of characters like AAAA, BAAA. So it makes it really easy to see exactly where you need to cut off your buffer overflow. So now when we know the return is going to do a pop and a jump, and it's going to pop whatever's at the stack pointer into the instruction pointer. Now, because this is a string, this is going to cause a segmentation fault, but this does tell us exactly where in that sequence we need to cut off our buffer overflow. So we can modify this. Oops. This is going to return a bytes object, but we can split it using this bytes object as a delimiter. And because split returns a list, we can essentially just take everything up to this TAAAA using array indexing or list indexing in this case. We'll run that again. Right. So now when we go to this return instruction, we can see that it has cut off and there is a return address right here. So I'll also show you all the Python interpreter really quick. You can just type Python 3 on the command line, and this is the Python interpreter. You can use this to like rapidly prototype and debug your code. Oh, okay. Thanks, Matt. That makes sense. So we would have to from pwn import star, but you can run this just like you would be writing it in your script. Equals ELF, which stands for executable and linkable format, hidden flag function. And we can actually get addresses really easily out of this ELF object. The ELF object contains things like the architecture, which is I386. You can get the Indian-ness of the file, and you can get what are called the symbols. And if we look in the symbols, we should see flag in here somewhere. I'm not going to worry too much about searching for it, but. So if you do e.symbols.flag, it'll return this decimal number to you, which is actually an address. And if we want to see that address in hexadecimal, we can simply use this built-in Python function called hex, which takes an integer, and e.symbols.flag. And so we have the address of our flag function. Exit like that. So we need to make a payload. We are going to do that by removing this from inside the send line. And we are going to concatenate to it using this plus equals operator. And we are going to give it the address of that flag function. But because we need to convert it into Little Endian, we're going to use the packing utility that PwnTools provides. And we're going to use a function called p32, which means pack this 32-bit number into a string for us.
I have a quick question on like how the buffer overflow is being done.
Sure.
So manually, we would either put in a bunch of bytes or a bunch of letters. So like, which line here in this Python script is doing that technically?
That's what this cyclic thing is doing. This is a function that is going to generate a really big patterned sequence of characters. And it makes it really easy to see. Like, for instance, it was trying to pop this TAAA into the return address, or into their instruction pointer on the return function.
Okay.
Or the return instruction, sorry. And so we know, okay, well, we can just split this sequence of characters right here at TAAA, and that'll essentially cut it into two different sequences of bytes. And this is just zero indexing like you're used to seeing in any other like array in other languages. It's a list in this case. But you're just saying, take the first half of when you cut that sequence of bytes in half. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, I get it now.
Okay. All right. And if we want to see our payload in a format that you would kind of be used to seeing in like Attack Lab, we can use this in ASCII Python module, there's a function called hexlify, and we could so we can print our payload, and you can see what that kind of looks like in ASCII character like hexadecimal. Right, so let's run this. All right, so what do you have to say? Now this is our, this is our payload that we just printed out. And you can see that it's like 616161. Those are our like byte encodings of ASCII characters, followed by your address here on the end. So we step through with next instruction. This call to scanf. Oh. Sorry, y'all. You have to actually send the payload. And now when we go to this scanf function, it delivers our payload. We go to this return instruction, and you can see right here, instead of returning to the main function, it's going to return to this flag plus zero address. So that's a pretty good indication that we've conducted our buffer overflow exploit correctly. So we can quit out of here, and let's see what happens when we run this without GDB. This is one of the coolest things about PwnTools is that it makes it really easy to go from like testing your exploit to deploying it. So we can comment all this out. And commenting out in or commenting in Python is done using this pound symbol. We can just replace this with p equals process in flag function. And now when we run this, it executes the entire attack for us. And it prints the flag right here.
Ooh, nice flag, David. we are just about out of time, but that's beginning to end exploit. I'll just kind of point out that the 61 thing is a lot like a lot of you would have had a, you know, exploit. The thing you send to Hex to Raw would have looked like that, except that you put spaces in between the bytes. And at the very end, after all those ASCII characters are is the address of the function that got called. Yeah, right over there. So this should, someone could do the same thing with their exploit from Attack Lab and use this against a C target. This is basically phase one, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
So we will, we have a template for y'all to work from and a whole write-up for you to read on how to proceed. Hopefully, this PwnTools stuff doesn't look too rough. And also, think about it like Bash. It's this text file that just gets run like a script. So that's what PwnTools looks like. And keep your eyes on Autolab. We'll have more stuff for you there. And we want you to get started this week. And then next week won't be too bad for you. So, on Wednesday, we'll tell you about Cache Lab and about your second choices for the other 40 points. So, stay in touch, be well, and hope you get a bunch of good experience out of this stuff. And thank you, David, for the demo.
My pleasure.
You have a good day.
You too.
Have a nice day, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.